thinking, oh, you can bend. You call me up because you know I'll be there, and I see your true colors shining through. I see your true colors, and that's why I love you. So don't be afraid to let it show your true colors, true colors, true colors are shining through. I see your true.
Cyndi Lauper's True Colours on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. Yeah, so that's pretty much it for me, Ruth Scott. Two things of note up next, Nighttime Talk. Tomorrow morning, just after 7, your very next opportunity to have a crack at winning €7,750. Yes, for what Lucy Kennedy said to Colm Hayes, yes, it is still going on, and God, we would love to give you the money. So you know what to do. Just leave the radio on beside you constantly. It's Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
It's almost 9 o'clock.
Online shopping returns made easy with Unpost. Choose home collection or post office drop-off. TNC Supply. Unpost. For your world.
Across Ireland.
Across Ireland.
On FM.
Digital.
And on your smart speaker.
This is the home of the 80s and 90s.
This is Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Good evening. The news with Alan Cantwell. The Taoiseach says the families of the Chríslog victims deserve an absolute hearing about the disaster. 10 people were killed in an explosion at a petrol station at the Donegal village in 2022. The families of the victims have called for a public inquiry, as the formal cause of the explosion has yet to be confirmed by authorities. Simon Harris says he's open to engaging with them.
I think the families definitely deserve an absolute hearing on this issue. We should always listen to victims and families of victims, and I'm sure government will consider their request. Well, of course, we need to keep an open mind, but I think we need to engage on what facts are trying to be established through an inquiry, and how that is different from other inquiries or investigations underway. So I think we should engage.
Joe Biden's used his final address to the United Nations to urge the US not to retreat from the world. He's been speaking as Israel and Hezbollah militants in Lebanon edge towards an all-out war with more than 550 people killed in Israeli airstrikes since Monday. The IDF insists they're hitting enemy targets. David Mensah's an Israeli government spokesperson.
In the last 24 hours, Israel has attacked 1,600 terror targets in Lebanon. By phone call, by radio broadcasts, by websites and text messages, the IDF has urged civilians to move out of harm's way.
The US will reportedly send cluster bombs, rockets, artillery and armored vehicles to Ukraine in a new aid package worth $375 million. President Volodymyr Zelensky is due to meet world leaders at the UN General Assembly in New York tomorrow. He's expected to have talks with President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris in Washington on Thursday. Gardaí have arrested a man as part of the investigation into the hijacking of a vehicle in Mountjoy Square in Dublin on Monday afternoon. The man, aged in his 40s, was arrested this evening. He's currently being detained under Section 4 of the Criminal Justice Act at a Gardaí station in North Dublin. That's it for now. We'll have news again in an hour.
Ireland's weather.
With McCarthy Insurance Group. For better value, home, farm, motor, life, health and business insurance in 2024. MIG.ie.
Cold and largely dry tonight with clear spells and just isolated showers. Rain starting to move across Munster and South Leinster. Lowest temperatures down to between 2 and 7 degrees. You're up to date to the home of amazing 80s each weekday at noon with Trina Mara on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Now, Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan on the home of the 80s and 90s.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Welcome along. It is, I was going to say it's Monday night. I'm losing track of days. It's Tuesday night. Yes, with you right through to midnight tonight. By the way, I was watching this video on the Irish Independent of Michael D. Higgins. I'm sure you're all following the story of Michael D. Higgins over the last 24 hours. And this famous letter of congratulations to the Iranian president on being elected. Now, firstly, the letter, I think, is problematic in itself. But that's a whole other argument, right? Because obviously he's speaking for the Irish people, and he also, you know, can pass his condolences on to the previous president, Riaz, who, let's be clear about it, there was an arrest warrant out for him. Now, he's dead, but there was an arrest warrant out for him, you know, on violations of human rights and all sorts of things. He refers to homosexuality as savagery and all this kind of thing. So I don't think most Irish people would be too upset that he was killed. Anyway, here's the thing. He kind of insinuated that the letter was leaked by the Israeli embassy. Now, he's now suggesting the media got it wrong. Now, I watched the video yesterday. The media didn't get it wrong. That's more or less what he said. He didn't use the word leaked, I don't think. But he said that's where it came from. Turns out that's not where it came from. It was the Iranian embassy actually put it up online. And the Israeli embassy probably just circulated it like loads of other people did too. It's available. You can go onto Twitter and see the letter. It's not a big deal, right? But then they asked him again today and he just wouldn't answer the questions. It was quite a funny little thing. He was the United Nations. And the journalists from RTE or whoever they were from were saying to him, we need to get to the bottom of this. And he goes, I don't want to talk. Let's talk about the United Nations. And they said, well, actually, no, we want to get the answer to this question. We decided the questions are, not you. It's a press conference. And I went, I've nothing more to say on the matter. And he got all flummoxed and frustrated. And it's a very serious issue because he made a very serious allegation against the Israeli embassy. Well, so they're suggesting. And now the media are saying to him, are you blaming us now for this? You know, that we kind of sensationalised the story. And he's like, well, no, I'm not saying that, but I didn't actually use the word leaked. And it's all very bizarre. It's like you're living in a different reality. I mean, it's quite weird. I mean, look, 14 years is certainly enough for the man. Like, there's a presidential election next year, and I know he had suggested, I think, at some point that there should be about 2-3 terms. Not a chance. Let's be clear about Michael D. Higgins. I'd like to get your thoughts on Michael D. Higgins, by the way. 087-188-0008. Do you think he's been a good... Look, he hasn't been a bad president, right? You can't say, honestly, he's been a bad president. As presidents go, because presidents in Ireland don't do very much. But he's been pretty useless. Do you know what I mean? I mean, he hasn't... Like, what is he actually... Will he be remembered? What has he actually really done? I mean, do you think he's been a good president? Maybe you think he's been a good president? I don't know. I mean, I think maybe we should have a referendum to change the role of the president in Ireland, to give them a little bit more power. At the moment, they have very little power at all, actually. So maybe we should change the role. That would have to go to referendum. But then we'd have to be very careful who we pick as the president, obviously. But do you think Michael D. Higgins has been a good president of Ireland? He's just there, isn't he? I mean, he was a great talker at one stage. I don't think he's as good as he used to be, because obviously he's a little bit older now. We all slow down as we get older, don't we? But let me know, 087-188-0008. Hold on, I just turn on your text here so I can see what you're saying to me. Hang on. So, WhatsApp in there. Let me know, has he been a good president, right? Now, a little bit later on, by the way, we're going to be talking about the two-tier health system that we have in this country with the amount of people on trolleys and waiting lists. There has been a suggestion that, you know, get rid of the two-tier system of private and public, you know, and the state should take over the private hospitals, buy them out. After all, we're into buying buildings lately, aren't we? And do away with private health insurance. I don't believe money should ever buy your health, by the way. Unfortunately, it does. People say it doesn't. Of course it does. If you have private health insurance, you're going to get seen before anybody else for those kind of doomsday operations like bypasses or whatever. So, you know, money does buy your health. Also, I want to talk about the, you know, the primetime special that was on last Wednesday. We want to give it a bit of airtime. We mentioned it briefly last night, and to me, any amateur filmmaker could have made that. Went out and found 20 of the worst people they could possibly find, racists, violent criminals, and made a documentary and said this is representative of the right wing, or this is representative of people who are unhappy with immigration, which is not the truth, really. They're not representative. They're just violent, or they're just thugs, or they're just racists. I mean, they're not representative. I'm not talking about everybody on the show, but I'm talking about many of the hand-picked people that they picked. Any, you know, amateur filmmaker could have done that. And I kind of knew that's what was going to happen. Also, I'll be talking to Lauren White a little bit later on. Lauren has gone to her own problems in life, and now she gives talks, talking to other people about addiction. She's a recovered alcoholic and addict. who is using her suffering and journey to help others get through their issues. But the first thing I want to talk about is, now, we heard the news yesterday that the Minister for Justice, Hannah McEntee, has claimed that the plan for the new hate speech laws are being scrapped. Number one, I don't believe her. I believe this is coming up to an election, and I think it's easy to say that. Take them off the table for now because they're deeply unpopular, and let's bring them back once we get re-elected and then there's nothing they can do about it. However, she said that she will still press ahead with the hate crime part of the legislation. This legislation would provide tougher sentencing where hate is a motivating factor in a crime. Hatred Act 1998 currently states that it's an offence to communicate threatening, abusive and insulting material that is intended or likely to stir up hatred against a group of people because of their race, colour, nationality, religion, ethnic or national origins, membership of the travelling community or sexual orientation. Now, it's no secret that Ms. McEntee's proposal for the new legislation is deeply unpopular amongst most people, and it's been very vague with its definition of the word hate. But here's the thing. In relation to the aspect she wants to keep, which is the hate crime aspect to it, if you beat somebody up in the middle of a street, you should serve prison time. Personally speaking, I believe, obviously. No matter what reason you beat them up for. And I want to give you an example. Currently at the moment, if I'm walking down the road, and this is just an example, and I see two blokes, and for whatever reason, I just don't like the look of one of them, and I attack them, and I break his arm, smash his face in. Let's say I'm brought to court, I'm found guilty of assault, a random attack in the middle of the street, I get 5 years in jail. Let's just say. I think that's the maximum sentence, 5 years. Second scenario. I'm walking down the street and I see two lads and they're holding hands. And for whatever reason, I clearly think they're gay. And I start shouting obscenities at them, calling them faggots or whatever it is, whatever names people currently use as derogatory names. And for that reason, I beat them up because I don't like gay people. And I beat one of them up and I break his arm and smash his face in. According to the minister, I should get 7 years maybe. Because it's considered to be a crime of hate. The motivation was hate, a hatred for a community. Or if they were black, or if they were Romanian, or whatever it happened to be, whatever ethnic status they happen to be, or maybe even women, and I don't like women. So, but should that be the case? Because if I'm the non-gay person who got beaten up in the first scenario, I feel a bit hard done by now. I'm discriminated against. If I'd have been gay and he called me names, the perpetrator would have got an extra couple of years. So is that fair? Or should we just leave it the way it is? Do you believe that a motivating factor should make a difference in the sentencing? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. My question is it fair for hate crimes to get longer sentences than any other assault, for example, or any other crime, for that matter, even if it's murder? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. Let me go to Luke first. I'll come to Stephen after that. Luke, hi, how are you?
Good evening, Neil. How's things?
Good. Luke, do you believe that a hate crime or a crime motivated by hatred of a community should get you longer in jail?
Absolutely not, because no matter what kind of crime is committed and to whom it's committed against, like, there's always going to be a contributing factor in the offender's mentality. And just because of their race or their sexual orientation or religion is there, does not necessarily make it any worse or better than any other kind of crime. Like, it's basically putting some people on a pedestal in the eyes of the law, because if I attack a straight white man, nobody's going to bat an eyelid, whereas if I attack a gay man or a Muslim, then it's going to be all over the news. And that really just takes away the everybody's equal part of the justice system, and I just think it's deeply unfair.
But here's the thing, right? I suppose the reason the minister's saying this and the reason countries will have this type of legislation is to discourage people for committing crimes against people based on the colour of their skin, their sexual orientation or their ethnicity. In other words, that it will reduce the amount of possibilities of people being attacked because of what they are, who they are and what they represent. Isn't that the purpose of it then? Okay, like, you're still going to get random assaults, obviously.
Like, I do understand part of why they're doing it. Like, it does make sense that they want to protect certain individuals who might like suffer the consequences of hatred in that
sense. I mean, you remember, I don't know whether it's still a thing, but you remember back in the kind of 80s, particularly in and around Dublin City, you know, queer bashing was a thing. I don't think it's a thing, and I hope it's not a thing anymore. But that was a thing, queer bashing.
No, like, I am aware of it. No, it's before my time, but I am aware of those things happening. And like talking about like things in the past, like 100 years ago or 200 years ago, women weren't allowed to vote, and like as a society, we've progressed. But that, like, you know, like people have gained their equal rights as they should, but I just don't think that people should be sentenced differently based on what people perceive to be the agitating factor in such assaults or crimes.
By the way, on a side note, do you believe the minister said she's dropped the hate speech laws, or they're going to be scrapped?
I doubt,
believe her?
Like, there's an election coming up in a month or two. They're going, like, whoever's in power now is going to say whatever they have to do to sweeten people up. Those hate speech laws were highly controversial, and not a lot of people who are aware of them were happy about them. And they're just trying to rack up as many votes as they can now before the budget and afterwards for the election. I just think it's a kind of swindling the people again into voting into their arms.
Okay, and as soon as they get back into power, you reckon those hate speech laws will be drummed back up again, back on the table?
Slowly but surely. But I just reckon those laws should be scrapped, because it's just so hard to define.
Well, of course, it's an infringement on free speech. It's an infringement on free speech. You know what I mean?
And it does put people on, certain people on a pedestal. Like, it makes them feel more untouchable than the ordinary Joe Soap, for example. Just because someone is of a certain religion or sexual orientation, that's not necessarily a reason for them being assaulted, but they could use that as a reason to get the offender a higher sentence just because they can.
Okay, well, stay there for a second. Let me go to Stephen as well. Stephen, hi, how are you?
Good evening.
Stephen, the minister said she wants to keep this aspect of the law. She's obviously said she's dropped the hate speech laws. Even you yourself, by the way, said you probably didn't agree with them at one time when we talked about it. So let's just see if she keeps her promise and doesn't bring them back after they get re-elected again. But in the hate crime aspect of the law, do you really believe it's fair that somebody would get a different or a harsher sentence based on the motivation for the crime?
Firstly, you're predicting a good possibility that they'll get re-elected. Now, to be fair, the polls will probably bear that out a little bit at the moment anyway, but we'll see what happens on the day. As regards to the hate speech bill, I do believe they'll have dropped it. If Fine Gael get back in, I don't think they'll go near it for another couple of years at least, because it is too contentious. And the 89 Act is still there, so they'll probably try and bring a bill to amend and update the 89 Act, which is basically the same thing as the new Act with additions to include online media and so on. But anyhow, in terms of the hate crime bill, did you say there was a bill in 98?
That was the last bill that we had in relation to hatred was 1998. But that was just as an offence to communicate threatening, abuse, or insulting material that is intended or likely to stir up hate. That's a separate aspect of it. I just happened to mention that. So, in other words, crime that's motivated by hate will carry a tougher sentence. In other words, and I gave the example of two people being beaten up, one because they're gay, one isn't gay. The one that's gay and they call them names, they get an extra couple of years onto their sentence. So I'm assuming what'll happen is there'll be a maximum sentence for assault, but assault motivated by hate will add another sentence onto it.
Well, if I remember most of the wording in the bill, it's up to 5 years additional to the sentence is available to the judge to add at their discretion.
If they believe it's motivated by hate.
Yeah. Now, sentencing is always arbitrary. There isn't a set minimum amount of years for X, Y, and Z. In most cases, unless it's something like murder and so on. But even then, there's no big criteria that says it must be 15 years or 20 years or 5 years or whatever it is, unless I'm completely wrong. But sentencing is always fairly arbitrary based on what the judge feels at the time, based on the severity of the sentence and the evidence. Now, Dave was talking about putting people protected under the Equality Act above on a pedestal. I don't agree that that's what's happening, but I certainly agree that that's how it can be seen. But the reasoning for that is there has never been a law that criminalize a straight white cisgender man for being a straight white cisgender man. That's all. There has been laws that justify attacking and raping women, ethnic minorities, members of the traveling community, people from different religions, etc., etc., etc. You know, that is why.
But no, the equality. But the Equality Act was never used in relation to crimes. The Equality Act was only ever there in relation to discrimination. To be used in that sense. This will be the first time that we would actually put people behind bars, you know, if a crime is motivated by hate. And don't get me wrong, they're going behind bars anyway. No, they're going behind bars anyway for assault, but this will be the first time we'll add a sentence on. Like, and I give the example again, you know, you're walking down the street and I'm walking down the street, Stephen, and some guy is walking towards us with a view to beating one of us up, right? And he beats you up because for whatever reason he's heard that you're gay, right? And as he's beating you up, he says, I'm beating you up because you're gay. Now, he didn't beat me up. If he had to beat me up, he would have got 5 years, let's say. But because he beats you up and he does it because you're gay, he's getting an extra 2 or 3 years on the sentence. Is that fair?
If the prosecution can prove that it was motivated by hate, then it is, as I said, up to the discretion of the judge. Is it fair? Arguably not.
Well, you're getting better treatment than me, then. It means that your life is worth more than mine.
Depending on the severity of you getting beaten up.
Hypothetically, we're both beaten up the same way. What I'm saying is, what the courts and what the justice system is saying, and that woman who stands up on top of the building with a blindfold on her, because justice is meant to be blind, is justice not blind after all. Your life and your protection is worth more than mine. That's what it's saying. Luke, go ahead. You want to say something to Stephen? Go ahead, Luke.
Just going back to Stephen's point there a second ago when he was referring to pre-Equality Act times when gay people and whatever were criminalised against. And now he fought for equality, the gays fought for equality, whatever, they have equality. Are you suggesting now that the government has to overcompensate laws to protect them further than everyone else? Like, just every other normal person, or not normal, sorry, that's the wrong way of putting it, but just people in general. Are you suggesting that people have said...
Well, no, anybody not covered under the Equality Act, I suppose, Okay.
But do you know what I mean? Like, are you saying that people who are gay and stuff now have to be overcompensated for past indiscretions?
Didn't say that.
No.
And unlike the pair of you, I am old enough to remember gay bashing, and I have experienced gay bashing in my lifetime. I am old enough to know my history of Declan Flynn, who murderers were let because they were fine, upstanding gentlemen.
Mm-hmm. You know? No, I do remember that.
I know my history.
And by the way, that's a very dark part of Ireland's history that we shouldn't forget, by the way, Stephen. I'm not suggesting for a minute we do forget that kind of part of our history.
It's also not too deep in our history either. Mm-hmm. There are queer men and, you know, Muslims and people like that getting attacked on their streets day in and day out. Just not all of it makes the headline.
Yeah, you know, no, I get you.
There are people. So where an offense is motivated by hate, this is why they say that the government are saying that there should be an additional sentence at the discretion of the judge under the burden of proof of the prosecution. Unless I have it on video that they are attacking me and saying it is because I am gay, chances are that doesn't get added to their sentence. Unless I have undeniable proof.
I don't necessarily believe it would be like that. You know, if there's a witness with you, for example, and they said, well, before the man did it, he starts shouting queers or whatever, or if it's a black person, whatever, he starts shouting obscene, vulgar names, you know, and then he beat us up. Well, then clearly it's motivated by hate, isn't it?
Yeah, but I still need undeniable proof to make it stick. You know, so what could be said by a witness could be classed as hearsay.
Can I just make a point, actually?
Go ahead.
Go ahead, yeah.
I'm going to get Stephen a job in the courts. Go on, Luke. He's been watching Judge Judy again.
It just sounds very convenient at the moment that they want to keep said particular thing because due to the current government's agenda where they're bringing in all sorts of immigration, it's causing a lot of civil unrest and public people in general are just not happy about it. And it's almost as if they're trying to protect their stance on immigration and not listening to people's concerns. I feel like there's a bit of that at play here too, where they're kind of trying to deter people from voicing their concerns and even acting on their concerns. Now, I'm not saying or advocating anyone should be assaulted in Ireland, but I'm just saying that is it a case that the government is trying to stop people from trying to protect what they believe their right to look after their own country, if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense, and I'm not wholly disagreeing with you. But at the same point, you know, under the 89 Hate Speech Act, they have had 300 attempts of 300 reports, 50 court cases, and 5 convictions in 30 years. They're not doing a very good job of it.
Mind you, Stephen, that will tell you one of two things. The Garda Síochána are not doing a good job arresting and prosecuting people, or we don't have a huge problem. That's the second thing. Mind you, watching the RT documentary the other night, we do have a little bit of a problem with the way people speak. But mind you, even the worst part of that documentary, that one woman walking around and the absolutely vile language that she used, right? I don't believe that should be illegal. I do believe she has her own conscience to deal with when it comes to the ability and hatred with inside her. But I believe that that's for her to deal with. You know what I mean? Now, and don't get me wrong, the fellas walking around with the sticks and throw Molotov cocktails, they're criminal activity. That should be dealt with by the law. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and if her words or her actions get her in trouble, then she faces the responsibility of that the same way as you or I would as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if her words or actions incite other people to commit crimes, then she is equally responsible.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That is how it works. That's what incitement means.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, but it would depend on what she says, by the way, in relation to that. But either way, her language was just vile. Well, stay there, Luke and Stephen. Let me go to Michael. Michael, how you doing?
Hi, Niall. How's it going?
Michael, live from New York, I believe. Yes, Michael, how are you keeping? It's been a little while.
Yeah, everything's good. How about yourself?
Good. Michael, I mean, should people get extra time in jail based on the motivation for their crime?
I really do think so. And the only reason why I say it, I hate to bring up the C word, COVID, but back when COVID was a big thing over here, people were going out of their way, and a lot of Asian people get it, just hit on the street, just random attacks. So that's why I do think that, you know, if people are going out of their way, either, you know, go after a Chinese person, a gay person, a Jewish person, a Muslim, they have a motive, so I think it demotivates them if they know there's going to be a bigger consequence.
Okay, that was the point I made to Luke, that maybe, you know, in some way it goes towards demotivating people to commit crimes based solely on hate. I'm sorry, Michael, your line is a little bit low. I think you're on a speakerphone in a car by some stretch of the imagination, maybe.
Yeah, I'm driving, unfortunately.
That's okay. That's okay.
Hypothetical there, actually, if it's all right.
Yeah, go ahead, Michael. Or Luke.
So hypothetically speaking, if a black person assaulted a white person because they hated white people, would that black person be prosecuted under the hate laws as well?
I would like to think so.
Absolutely. They would be.
Of course they would be.
Why wouldn't they be? If it's deemed a contributing factor and it can be proven, then they would be tried under the hate speech law as well.
So the hate speech laws, by the way, is in relation to race, colour, which there brings in colour, nationality, religion, ethnic or national origins. So that would come under it, I imagine, Luke. So, I mean, if a black person beat up a white person or a Muslim beat up a Catholic, for example, the other way around, mm-hmm. obviously, it would be the same thing. If it's motivated by hate because of what the person is or isn't, well, I suppose it would be the same.
Yeah,
fair enough. Yeah, so I'm glad we cleared that one up. But Michael, the only problem I have with it is, you know, if I'm a Muslim or if I'm gay or if I'm black or if I'm an ethnic minority and I get beaten up, you know, I get kind of special treatment. But whereas if I'm not any of those things and I get beaten up just for no reason, well, then all of a sudden my life is just not worth as much. And that's my problem with it.
Yeah, I definitely see your point. But if me and you are both walking down the street and you happen to be a Chinese Muslim with a rainbow flag,
that a Chinese Muslim with a rainbow flag. Okay.
So if they purposely go after you because you've just ticked all the boxes and they don't touch me, then fine. But if they hit me or, you know, punch me, stab you, whatever, over you, and that's just a random attack, that's just why I kind of think that, you know, the motive behind it. If there's no real motive and they just is are a little bit mentally ill, then it's kind of, well, it is what it is. You know, but if there's a motive behind it, then I definitely think it's
okay. I'm sorry. I'd love to hear you more, Michael. And I'm sorry. I know you're on your way home from work in New York City at the moment, and obviously that's why your line is a little bit low. But I get the point that you're making.
If I could just pick up on Michael's point.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Go ahead.
The word Michael used is purposeful. Is motive. Like if there is a reason and that they went out of their way to do this to target somebody, whether they're white, black, gay, straight, Muslim, Chinese, whatever. Or any combination thereof, then, you know, there is, the court will already take that into account, regardless of whether we use the 98 Hate Crime Act or the 89 Hate Speech Act or whatever new versions of it we create. You know, the court will already take those into effect. It just gives the court options to impose a slightly harsher sentence if the judge deems it appropriate, which we already do for so many godforsaken cases in the first place. If I'm recklessly driving, which is my kind of go-to. We pass laws to manage everything. You know, I can't drive down the local road in my area at 150 kilometers an hour because that's dangerous. You know, I also can't do it on the motorway.
Yeah, but we don't break those laws into categories based on the color of your skin or your religion. It doesn't matter who you are driving at 100 miles an hour.
But these laws are built. The laws are built to recognize the intrinsic biases that we all have, whether we know them or not.
I don't think any law. Give me another law. Name me one other law that's built around bias. I don't think so. I don't think we have any laws that are built around a thought, which is what it is.
Well, I don't know if it's the best example, but maybe the Itinerant Act. I don't remember what year it was, but basically, you know, a law that said that we could stop people from the traveling community going into places or living places or things like that, you know.
That was based on belief and
feelings about a group of people.
Well, no, it was Mary Robinson brought that in because we had a huge problem with people for the members of the traveling community who are stopping on public land, you know, and calling it their own, essentially.
There was a societal moral panic and the politicians reacted accordingly.
Yeah.
The same way as the laws that criminalized homosexuality. There was a moral-led panic and we passed the law to react to it.
Yeah, but that wasn't just about homosexuality. The laws, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but you probably know more than I do in relation to it. The original law was in relation to buggery, wasn't it?
Yes, but also anything associated with the promotion of homosexual lifestyles. There was a basic carbon copy of the Section 28 laws under Thatcher.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
I was just saying, by the way, it was quite ironic. I mentioned at the start of the show there, the President Higgins sent a letter over to the new Iranian president. The previous Iranian president referred to homosexuality as savagery. And yet, our president, on your behalf, by the way, Stephen, sent a letter giving his condolences on his passing. There you go.
On everyone's behalf, but yes. And this was done in May the crash was May and the letter was July. And it's only because of the current Israeli conflict that it's getting such a storm in a teacup.
Yeah, but is he speaking on your behalf, by the way?
Our behalf.
I'm only asking.
But yes.
Was he?
You know, but like, I read the letter and it's just your standard condolences.
No, I know.
That's just love.
I know, but I wouldn't be wishing condolences to a man who's guilty of human rights crimes.
I'm sure plenty of other people... I personally wouldn't, but I'm sure plenty of other politicians issued a similar letter.
Stay there for a second. We'll come back to that again another time. Listen, I've got to go to a few more callers in this as well. Stay there, Stephen, if you want to stay with me. The number, by the way, is 087-188-0008. We're talking about Justice Minister Helen McEntee. She said she is dropping the hate speech laws, but she's keeping the hate crime part of the law. And that is whereby somebody will get an extra part of a sentence based on the motivation for a crime. So if you assault somebody based on the fact of the colour of their skin or their sexuality or whatever it is, the membership of any particular ethnic minority, you can get a longer sentence than it would if you they weren't part of any of those communities. If it's motivated, obviously, by hate. Do you believe that's fair? Some people say, well, absolutely not, because justice should be blind. It doesn't matter what somebody is. If you beat them up, you beat them up. You go to jail for 5 years or whatever it is. So let me know what you think. The number, by the way, is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008.
You're listening to Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Got an opinion?
Hello? Then get on the phone. 0818-942-105.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
We love Irish music here on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio, and we love the artists that make it. That's why, as part of Irish Music Month, we're putting Irish music first. Profiling, supporting, encouraging and promoting Irish artists. More song plays, more chats, more mentions and more money in Irish music creators' pockets. Over €100,000 in total. It's all about recognising the importance and value Irish music has for us all. Irish Music Month, Irish Radio supporting Irish artists. With IBI and Hot Press supported by Commission in Man Sound and Vision Scheme, funded by the television licence fee.
Want to support breast cancer research and have a chance of winning a BMW X2 for just €20? Then enter our raffle in aid of the National Breast Cancer Research Institute. The draw takes place at Race in Pink, part of the Galway Races Winter Festival, on Sunday the 27th of October. Get your tickets now at winabmw.ie.
Stand back. The Stevie Nicks Experience. Coming to Lost Lane, Adam Court, just off Grafton Street, October 12th. As Europe's only tribute to Stevie Nicks, Vicky Martin invites you on an enchanting journey through Stevie's biggest hits, from Fleetwood Mac to the present day. A hauntingly authentic live show not to be missed. Stand back. The Stevie Nicks Experience. October 12th at Lost Lane, Dublin. Tickets €28 plus booking fee from Eventbrite.
Considering surgical or non-surgical cosmetic treatments? Call River Medical on 01662-9106 or visit rivermedical.ie.
You're listening to Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
With Recruit.ie, Ireland's new online job search. Search for your dream job today on Recruit.ie.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
All right, a lot of people, by the way, suggesting, by the way, that they don't believe the minister will actually get rid of the hate speech laws or drop the hate speech laws, that they believe that as soon as they get re-elected. Now, Stephen is right, that's providing they get re-elected, that they'll bring that aspect of the law back again. But that's not what we're focusing on tonight. We've had focus in the past on the hate speech laws, and the reason a lot of people are they are quite contentious is, of course, there's no definition of the word hate. Now, just to get back to what we're talking about, of course, we're talking about the part of the law that she wants to keep, which is the hate crime aspect of the law, whereby you would get extended time in jail if your crime is motivated by hate. Now, I gave an analogy earlier on as to how that exactly works. And Stephen agrees that maybe that should be part of the law, that it would discourage, as Michael said earlier on, people from committing crimes based solely on hate. Those who want to go out and do that are Chinese, as Michael gave an example of a Chinese Muslim waving a rainbow flag. That, you know, that person then obviously, if, for example, they were set upon by somebody based on the fact they were Chinese, based on the fact they were gay, or based on the fact that they happened to be Muslim, that part of the crime would get an extended sentence, discouraging other people from doing things like that. Let me go, stay there, Stephen. Let me go to Bernie as well. Bernie, hi, how are you?
I'm grand. How are you, Niall?
Good. Bernie, do you believe it's necessary to extend your jail time based on the motivation of your crime or for your crime?
What crimes are we talking about?
Well, hate crimes, obviously.
Okay, so, if it warrants it, yes, I think it should be.
Mm-hmm. So if I commit a crime against a minority, based on the reason, in other words, based on, you know, the fact that they're a minority, be they the colour of their skin, their ethnic,
or travellers, or any community, but yes.
That my sentencing should be longer because I did it solely for that reason.
Yes, if it was motivated by pure hatred of a certain community or a certain thing, I think it should be extended.
Okay. And then what about the fact that somebody will say to you, well, is that not a bit unfair then, say, to somebody who's attacked, but for no particular reason? And they're saying, well, then why is, you know, somebody else's life worth more than mine just because they happen to be part of an ethnic minority?
Well, I feel, just my personal opinion is that you went out of your way to take your vengeance out on a particular person because of what you perceived to be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
whereas a random act of injury or damage to another person is wrong, but it could have been, you know, it wasn't racially motivated, it wasn't done as a hatred, it was done randomly for no specific reason. They just went along and attacked you. He had a hammer in his hand and he went and he took the head off you. Mm. Whereas somebody who has a set against a certain minority in the country or community, they've gone out of their way to search those people out, and they've gone out of the way to instead of dealing with, they've just, their hatred is spilled into their anger, and their anger has been taken out in that community.
Mm.
Minorities. That's how I view it now. I'm
yeah, no, so my for, personal opinion. Okay, yeah, and so for that reason, you believe that should be taken into consideration when it comes to time for sentencing, and that person then should get extra jail time.
Yes, yes, mm. But. You know, there's a difference, in my opinion, between a physical violent attack on somebody and a verbal attack. Because sticks and stones will break your bones, which we know, which is cruel. It could leave you life-changing, altered. You know, you could have a brain injury as a result of somebody's violence. Whereas words are verbal.
Mm.
And we all have been accused, and it's, you know, I'm sure we've all had verbal abuse that has, at some stages of our lives are not, you know, and, you know, they don't, you get on. Mm-hmm. It's upsetting at that moment in time, but you move forward.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody calls you a big fat fuck, or, you know, you're a culture, you're a dub, or you're a knacker, whatever. It's hurtful at the time, but you get over that. It's just words. They leave a hurt or an indentation on your emotions, but you get over that because something else comes on in your life and you forget all about it.
Well, that was the other aspect of the law, obviously, that she wanted to bring in, which was just, you know, the hate speech aspect of the law. But she's dropped that for the time being. I don't know for how long, or maybe for permanently. I'm not too sure. It was an unpopular piece of legislation on both sides, by the way. I've heard people on the left and on the right suggest that the definition of hate not being in the law made it impractical to even try to enforce. And you are right. You know, our mothers are always told us sticks and stones will break our bones, but names will never hurt us. So that maybe shouldn't be part of the illegality of it. But you do believe that once the crime, or a physical crime, I should say, is motivated by hatred of a community, that a person should suffer more. Or the perpetrator. Yeah, yeah, should suffer more.
Yeah. Because they've gone out of the way to search out that group.
Steve, but I'm also curious, Stephen, do you actually think it would make a difference? Because, you know, people who are that intent on harming somebody else based on their own internal hatred, do you really think that's going to change them? That instead of getting 5 years, I might get six, so I'm not going to do this.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
No, it is certainly something I was thinking about both in this discussion and previous discussions. I don't think so. If somebody is set enough in their mind to, you know, we'll say, you know, go to the Phoenix Park and threaten people that they suspect of being gay, no, I don't think it will deter them. It might deter a few, but it won't deter the vast many of them. And again, the point was made, and another example of where court sentencing can be adjusted based on is crimes of passion. A man comes home, finds his wife in bed with another man, and instead of just throwing him out, he flies into a fit of rage and kills him. Is motivated by anger and hatred of that particular person. Mm-hmm. So the sentencing is accordingly stricter because of the severity of the crime. You know, so again, we have examples of all of this in court cases.
Mind you, in those cases, you tend to get a reduction in the crime rather than an increase for a crime of passion.
A reduction in the sentencing?
A reduction in the sentencing. It's considered probably to be a mitigating circumstance, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, but then, you know, if that then, say the man didn't kill the man in the bedroom, that he instead drove to that man's house the next day and killed him there.
That would be
an
different.
Even more
yeah.
Extenuating circumstance, and the severity is increased because, again, the intent is there. Now, again, everybody, every time we have discussions about hate, everyone's just like, well, the definition of hate isn't in the bill, and it makes it more difficult. And you and I have had this discussion several times, and I invite anybody who's contributing to it, including yourself, to define hate. Because I can give you several definitions if you want. But I open it to yourself first.
I find hate a very difficult word to define. Because, and I also feel that hate is also quite a personal thing, in a sense that...
But if I ask you to give me the first three words that pop into your head when I say the word hate...
Bias? Bias? Is,
broccoli.
Well, okay. Bias is probably the first word that comes into my head. I'm trying to think of other words that would come into my head. I mean, generally people who are filled with hate usually have mental health problems themselves. But yeah,
possibly not always, but possibly.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah. But I think the main thing would be a bias towards individuals based on whatever it is, you know, you have a problem with, you know, so it is a natural bias. But here's the thing, you know, hate is just a feeling. It's like happiness. It's just an emotion. It's a feeling. I mean, I'm quite entitled, Stephen. I don't hate you, by the way, but I'm quite entitled to hate you. Do you know what I mean? There should be no law preventing me from hating you. There should be no law that demands that I like you or that I like a community or I like. Do you know what I mean? I'm quite entitled as long as I don't act on it or encourage others to act on that.
Yes, but that's what these laws are for. We're not talking about Orwellian thought, speech, and reconditioning. We're talking about, you know, the results of your actions or your words. Your feelings are your feelings.
But we do know the laws were very vague. The minister herself couldn't even define them when she was asked on numerous occasions to try and define what she was actually talking about.
Yeah, but with the greatest of respect, if she starts setting precedent, she can potentially affect the outcomes of court cases.
Well, stay there for a second because I want to go to Martin. Martin, hi, how are you?
Good evening, all.
Martin, okay, let's leave aside the hate speech part for the moment because it's gone. But the hate crime aspect of the law, you know, should somebody get longer in jail based on the reason why they perpetrate a crime?
Well, you've pretty much just hit it yourself there on what I sent in a text. I have a couple of opinions on it. First off, I think that to say that if I'm attacked simply on the basis that I have a couple of hundred euros in my wallet, and I end up, you know, in hospital or paraplegic or whatever the case may be, and somebody else is attacked because someone hates them and they end up with the same degree of injury as me, that person's injuries are deemed to be more life-affecting than mine, and therefore the perpetrator should get a longer sentence, is absolutely ridiculous. And in itself, prejudice. Now, on top of that, again, you touched on something that I sent in a text. I do not believe that anyone who is so unbalanced, irrational, and filled with hatred, if they're told, if you act on that hatred and attack somebody, and particularly if you cause injury to them, we're going to stick another 2 years onto your sentence. If someone is prepared to risk 5 years in prison and act like a savage simply on the basis that they hate another person or group or demographic, I do not believe that anyone who would do such a thing would be in any way dissuaded from doing it by adding another 2 or 5 or 10 years to their sentence. They're mentally unbalanced. When it comes to the definition of hate, I would say it's
prejudice, bias.
The first word that would come to my mind is irrational. I can hate an action. I can hate something somebody is doing. I can even, if you wish, I could say I could hate an individual. But it's when you go and take action fueled or based on that hatred, it's now irrational because your hatred or your action against that person, it's not going to change anything. It's not going to stop you hating them. And most likely, unless you kill them, it's not going to stop them being who or whatever they are. This whole thing is—it's all just, again, it's more to me. It's just more. It's more smoke and mirrors on the part of Helen McEntee and a government who want to just, you know, it's whack-a-mole. You know, you hit one mole down, and the other pops up, and it's to keep all of us looking at these things moving around and not looking at the real issues of things.
But is this not a real issue? Has prejudice, discrimination, hatred not become an issue in Irish society? Because there are claims that it has.
Well, of course it has. But there has always been prejudice and hatred in this country. the question is, if you act on that hatred, if you actually act on that hatred, and I was, it's the old story now, you know, when it comes to the freedom of speech, I'm an absolute advocate for freedom of speech, but I'm a realist. Anyone who shouts fire in a crowded theatre and people are injured because there's no fire, but yet people are screaming and rushing to get out and people will inevitably be injured, whoever shouted fire knowing there was no fire, throw the book at them. Mm. Put them in the deepest, darkest hole possible and don't let them out. But I feel exactly the same insofar as if someone attacks me on the basis that I'm carrying money in my wallet, I want them punished to the same degree as anyone who commits a crime and causes the same injury to someone else.
Okay, let me put that to Stephen. So, Stephen, again, I put it to you that, you know, Martin is attacked for the money in his wallet. You're attacked because of your sexual orientation. Why does the person get more of a sentence based on the burden of proof, obviously, more of a sentence for the, you know, the same injury to you as the same injury to Martin? Why?
Because of the motivation of it. It doesn't mean that even though we were both injured in the exact same way, that your injuries are less significant than mine or less life-altering than mine. It just means that somebody had an additional reason for attacking me that they didn't have for attacking you.
No, they just had a different reason. I'm sorry, Stephen, you're entirely wrong.
You're right.
You haven't answered why. You've just given an example, but you haven't answered substantially. What is the reason why? If you're attacked on the basis of your sexuality, but I'm attacked on the basis of the fact that I'm carrying money in my wallet, or I'm driving in a car and dragged out of the car, hit with a crowbar, and they steal the car, where is the difference? You've given an example, but you haven't actually answered the question of why. The substantive question is, why is there a difference? And you haven't answered it.
And to clarify, the perpetrator in both crimes should go to jail, by the way, can we just point out?
Yeah. Absolutely. I buried them in the deepest, darkest hole possible.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'd be right in front advocating for it as much as I would for, you know, a queer person or a Muslim or whatever it is. I'd be right in front of it. And the same with free speech. I am all for everybody having their freedom of speech. I just also want them all having the responsibilities for what happens.
Mm.
The same as I should face all the responsibilities for anything that I say, obviously. But the reason is the motivation. Somebody went out of their way to attack me because I'm gay. Whereas you were just somebody that they saw and it was more a crime of opportunity. It could be a crime of opportunity for me too. And if there was an additional thing of they found out that I was gay and, you know, intensified the beatings or the robbery or whatever it is, I'm just trying to elaborate as to why a hate crime is a hate crime compared to a crime.
You're just saying motivation. The motivation, if someone sees that I'm carrying, or not that I would very, very, very seldom have a couple of €100 in my wallet, but if someone sees me, you know, paying
at an ATM machine,
and they see that I have that money, right? The fact that their motivation is different, how does that change the outcome for me as the victim? This is the issue here, and you still haven't answered it.
Well,
what you're doing is you're giving examples, but you're not answering the substantive question as to why is the crime committed against you more grievous than the crime committed against me when the outcome for both of us is the same. Where is the difference?
Okay.
You haven't answered the question.
Well, I'll give it another go. If we both get caught taking our life savings out of an ATM or whatever, you know, we take 300 quid out of the ATM, and somebody follows both of us and attacks both of us in the same way, then I'm, you know, the crime is exactly the same. You know, if it's the case that, you know, I get attacked over you, say we both walk away from the ATM and the person comes after me because I'm gay or because I'm Muslim or because I'm from Africa or whatever it is, there is part of the difference. If it can be proved that was part of the contributing to the decision of the attacker to go for me instead of you.
Yeah, so what you're saying is the underlying element of the crime is the robbery, as distinct from theft.
Yes,
robbery will always robbery will always involve violence. Okay, so the underlying element of the crime is robbery. That was the motive. That was the prime motivation. The fact that you happen to turn up at the ATM before me and you're gay, and maybe the person knows you're gay and they don't like gays, I accept all of that. But the simple fact is, I doubt that they're going to attack you. If their motivation is robbery, I doubt they're going to attack you just because you're gay and rob you. If I'm the one at the ATM first and they spot me and they think that I'm an easy target, they're going to go after me. There is absolutely no difference in the outcome for either of us if we sustain the same injuries, possibly life-changing injuries.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm caught in the middle between the two because I do understand what Bernie was saying earlier on as well about it discouraging and what Stephen's saying. And Martin, you know, if an extra 3-year sentence added on because you did it because the person was black, was gay, was Muslim, whatever it was, that whatever that protected characteristic is, and if it discouraged, you know, 2 people from doing it in a year, I would think, well, then maybe it's not such a bad thing, because either way, they all deserve to go to jail anyway. But I do understand the point you're making, Martin. That's the point I made the same. Why is your life worth less than somebody who has a protected characteristic? I've got 2 minutes. I just need to go to Leslie Ann very quickly. She's been waiting ages. Leslie Ann, sorry, I do apologise. I've only got 2 minutes now. Go ahead. Leslie Ann, are you there? Ah, I think she gave up the ghost. Are you there, Leslie Ann? she abandoned us. Bernie, listen, thank you very much indeed, and I appreciate it. All right.
No problem.
All right. Martin and Stephen. Stephen, thank you for staying on as long as you possibly did. Thank you very much indeed. After the break, by the way, I am going to be talking about our 2-tier health system. Currently in Ireland, there are 505 patients waiting for hospital beds around the country. There's 1.2 million people waiting for operations around the country. We don't have enough hospital beds. We don't have enough hospitals. Suggestion is that maybe we should start taking over, you know, the private hospitals, like we did during COVID, where the state basically paid for private hospitals. Maybe we should just buy them out and abolish private health insurance completely. Ban it. And there should be no 2-tier system. And everybody should be treated the same way. And that way we'd have more hospitals to deal with people. And maybe we might get together with a good healthcare system, but as they call it, universal healthcare. Isn't that what they wanted to call it years ago? Who was originally wanted to bring that in? Well, I think it was Mary Harney at the time originally started or mentioned that. And then there was a couple of other ministers for health actually said it as well at the time. They wanted to bring in a universal system. Universal social care was another word they used for it at the time too. Where we all pay an extra 10 a week out of our wages and we all get the same healthcare system and it's more efficient. If I really thought that was the case, I don't think people would have a problem paying an extra 10. But I don't think that would happen. Let's be clear about it. We're talking about Ireland here. Anyway, do you believe that private healthcare or our 2-tier system that we currently have, do you believe that should be got rid of? And it should be the same for everybody. Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008.
You're listening to Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan. Got an opinion?
Hello?
Then get on the phone. 0818-942-105.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Saturday mornings sound better on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Saturday morning can be busy. Kids, training, shopping. But make some room in the schedule for me. Gareth O'Callaghan, Saturday mornings from 10 a.m. Grab a tea or a coffee while we go back to the future for great songs from the 80s and 90s as you get your weekend underway.
Gareth O'Callaghan.
Every Saturday morning from 10 to 2.
With Creative Dental Clinic Budapest. With aftercare in Ireland.
CreativeDentalClinic.eu.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Christmas is coming.
Oh no.
Oh yes. The Christmas Shopping Expo. Ireland's new indoor Christmas shopping fair at the National Indoor Arena, Blanchardstown, on 7th and 8th of December. Forget the stresses of Christmas shopping and get all your festive gifts and stocking fillers all under one roof. Make Christmas extra special this year at the Christmas Shopping Expo on 7th and 8th of December. For tickets or information on exhibiting at Ireland's new Christmas Gifts Fair, visit christmasshopping.ie.
Cameron McIntosh and Disney present Mary Poppins. Only Mary Poppins can bring you the most spectacular, spit-spot, magical, practically perfect, gravity-defying, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. And she's flying to Bord Gáis Energy Theatre this Christmas from the 11th of December for 5 weeks only. Tickets available now. BordGáisEnergyTheatre.ie.
On Instagram, so are we, at Classic Hits Radio. Follow us for up-to-the-minute minute celeb news, presenter updates, and plenty of laughs along the way.
Join the fun with the home of the 80s and 90s on Instagram at Classic Hits Radio.
Hi, it's Niall Boylan. Weeknights from 9, I open the phone lines for your opinions. Honest, upfront and unfiltered.
The stupidity of our so-called politicians. They don't have a clue how to run money.
And you broke the law.
But I never said that I didn't break the law. Niall, we all know what I'm talking about.
Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Monday to Thursday, 9pm to midnight. With Recruit.ie, Ireland's new online job search. Search for your dream job today on Recruit.ie.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. You're listening to Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan. Got an opinion?
Hello.
Then get on the phone. 0818 942 105.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Hi, I'm Megan Scully, and this is Crack August Kjol on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. Míle Níge the Nóchad Tree, Rugan Niall Horan, A One Direction, Mullingar, Ichonde on Irvi. Emile Nigid, Ochtu Akar, Han Madonna, Like a Virgin, Egan Kied, MTV Video Music Awards. Like a virgin, touched for the very first time. Like a virgin. Imyon 4, Emile Nigid, Ochtu, Hu David Bowie, Aaron Staucha, A Broadway, Insan Elephant Man.
Ashes to ash and fun to fuck it. We know Major Tom's a junkie, strung out in heaven's mind.
That's Crack August Kjol on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Across Ireland, on FM,
digital,
and on your smart speaker.
This is the home of the 80s and 90s.
This is Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Good evening, the news with Alan Cantwell. The Taoiseach says the families of the Creaslog victims deserve an absolute hearing about the disaster. 10 people were killed in an explosion at a petrol station at the Donegal village in 2022. The families of the victims have called for a public inquiry, as the formal cause of the explosion has yet to be confirmed by authorities. Simon Harris says he's open to engaging with them.
I think the families definitely deserve an absolute hearing on this issue. We should always listen to,